Blog Talk Radio.
To a very special edition of Living Loud Nation. This is the official post 2016 WWE Survivor Series post show for Sunday, November 20th, 2016. I am your host, Rob Spinoff-Puzzle, alongside my co-host, the man himself, Mr. Jim Davis. And this was a good pay-per-view. With the exception of the last match. Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I kind of agree with Kevin, Kevin Castle said on Facebook. He said WWE knows how to do the give you the what the fuck moment, but not in a good way. He's got a point on that. So, what'd you think about it?
I thought it was a good show overall. We have a caller on the line. We have Mr. Chad Hall.
Are we on the air or whatever?
Yes, we are. We are reviewing the WWE Survivor Series.
Yeah. I don't know. I missed a woman's thing, but I saw Nikki sat it out. What is her big injury? She chipped a tooth, didn't she?
Yeah, but basically, I'm just gonna go down the card. Yeah, the Raw Women's Tag Team match against the SmackDown team. That was a really good match. Like before the Nikki Bella's music hit, she didn't come to the ring. Said somebody attacked her, and Natalya.
That's just a cover up for her having that fucking chipped tooth. I remember HBK and YTJ had a TLC match or something.
Yeah.
He cracked his teeth and he still fucking worked. What the fuck? Whatever.
Well, they really pushed Raw tonight as like the dominant brand, even though SmackDown's a better show and they have better steady ratings, according to the reports that I've been reading. The Raw Women's, Raw Women's people won. The sole survivors were Charlotte and Bayley. Bayley beat Becky Lynch with the Bayley's of Belly.
Yeah, 1987 finisher. I haven't seen a belly-to-belly finisher since Shane Douglas, and I can't stand Shane Douglas. Yeah, he was king shit on ECW until Van Damme came along. Who's the better of those two,
Yeah.
The whole fucking show. Dude, I went back in the day, went to an ECW event when they were still intact. They were chanting RVD like when we walked into the fucking building all the way to the end of the show. It's like that's the one thing, like all the people were there, but all they were RVD, RVD. I remember that shit. That's why I was so over with dude. Yeah, I joined the fucking bandwagon. So,
Well, let me keep going on through the card. I'm gonna try to run through this quick. I'm not gonna spend too much time, talking about psychology and shit. The backstage, they had a fucking deal with Anderson and Gallows picking on James Ellsworth, and then Foley came up to him and they were like, "Hey, could knock off this shit." And then Foley tried to recruit Ellsworth to Raw, and then Ellsworth declined, saying that SmackDown was his home and it's in his blood and all that shit. Then the next match we had, was The Miz against Sami Zayn, which, from what I remember, was a pretty decent match. But
I missed it for some reason. I don't know. I think it went to shit or something.
What happened in that match was Maurice went to, like, whatchamacallit, Sami Zayn was about to win, and then Maurice went to ring the bell. And then, like, Sammy's like celebrating thing, and he won. And then Miz rolled him up 1, 2, 3, and then he retained the title.
Okay, so he's still champ, huh?
Yep, still champ.
For whatever reason, Miz keeps on getting that not world title, but main card title status for whatever reason. I think Dolph deserves it much more.
Yeah,
well, it makes you really say, wow, you know what I mean? It's just like, all right, Miz is coming out. But fucking Dolph, I mean, dude, Cornette don't even like wrestling anymore, and he'll be the first to tell you, when you see Dolph, I mean, you see, like, Mr. Wrestling and shit. The look, the fucking style, the selling, the storytelling. What the fuck's up with the pentagram he's wearing now? Is he like Satan's son or some shit? Is he? He got like a 5-star pentagram on his left, on his jacket or some shit.
I don't know. I mean, it's fucked up. I mean, you know, it's like Dolph. Everybody respects that he takes the bumps and he can give good matches, but he's never going to get over at any level because there's nobody in the back that believes in him anymore. So he's like, okay, we're just. You know, to me, he should be a Crinoa champion. I mean, you know, I'm glad that he's, you know, I mean, you know, he should have, they should have let him have that title and just not get, you know, let him drop it so fast to Miz, you know?
Well, when they gave him the ball, he took that nasty concussion, and he was starting to have, like, time flashes where when the match was over, he'd be in the back and he'd be like, where am I? How the fuck did I get here? I can't remember the last 15 minutes, so they not scared him, so they eventually they dropped the title off him, and then they put him back down the mid card, and still little flashing pan runs here and there, and just, I don't know, I think he's better than that.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
The next match was for the Cruiserweight title. It was a decent match.
Yes. To me, that made the pay. I love the Cruiserweight division. Yes.
Until Baron Corbin just came out there and just destroyed both guys for no damn reason. I guess he's gonna be the bully, the big guy that doesn't like the little guys. And I was hoping that SmackDown would have won this since they got the 205 show coming up right after SmackDown. So it would only make sense that, you know, move the Cruiserweight title and the division over to SmackDown, but, you know, they decided to go a different direction.
And I tell you, I mean, I don't mind Corbin, you know, except just a little bit more expression and like that roar, you know, I'm a big fucking bad motherfucker type, like how Strowman is, but later on, you saw Strowman carry Dean Ambrose around the fucking ring for about 2 minutes. It made no damn sense. He's like, what the fuck? And he's like smiling the whole time he's doing it. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I saw that.
He caught him in the crossbody, and I was like, all right, what's he going to do? He's like, walk around to the side. Oh, fuck, I'm supposed to be over there. I took the walk along the side of the way. Past the stairs. Okay, I position myself crossbody. Now I forget who jumped at him, and then he bumped.
I think it was AJ. I think AJ did that.
Well, the rumor was that AJ was going to be the one to lose, and then Undertaker had made that statement, whoever loses is going to have to answer to me, and I'm no longer part-time. So, you know, a lot of people are talking about him, and which I thought would have been fine, the Cena versus the Phenomenal One. Shit, I'd pay to see it.
What about that tag team match that they had, Raw versus SmackDown?
It was a lot of people and just two. It seemed like the whole event just seemed really, really, really compressed. You had like two teams beat within not even 3 minutes. Just like they were. I understand everybody's got to get like a, you know, their whatever their ring time and shit, but I mean, I don't know. It seemed really, really rushed, and it's just like, you know, you ain't on nobody else's network but your own. You don't share timetables with anybody. Shit, mm-hmm. You know, have everybody get their shit in or whatever, you know, do their spots, and call it a day. But, I mean, well, right off at 1, 2, 3, and then another 1, 1, 2, 3, and now next thing you know, you got three teams, and it just seemed like a clusterfuck, like bodies everywhere that you can't keep up with. Kind of like Royal Rumble or something like that.
Well, and the tag team, Raw won that one, and then they went to we talked about Brian Kendrick, but then they went to the main Raw match, Raw versus SmackDown, and it was good for what it was, but it was a complete clusterfuck. I mean, it was like bodies, everybody's in high spots and fucking dives, and it was hard to keep up with, like, who was the legal man, and like you were saying, Strowman was carrying Dean Ambrose around for no fucking reason. Like, I thought he was gonna, like, send him through the post or some shit. You know,
I was looking for the SOS out to the crowd, the sack of shit throw, like where he throws them over like Scott Hall, like out to the crowd, or some kind of like big power move, because they're pushing him as just like this big, I mean, he's a bodybuilder, so I mean, he could easily throw anybody around, but they really built around him tonight. He didn't get pinned. Then you got Ellsworth that holds on to the ankle, scores the count out. I mean, count out on a pay-per-view is very, very... It's like a slap in the face, man. I mean, people want to see a winner, but not no fucking count out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rob. It's fucked up because I agree. I mean, I agree. I'll just say this, and I agree with somebody on Facebook who said this before my call, before we've done this, is the NXT TakeOver show was better than Survivor Series.
Oh,
and
way better.
I'll be honest with you, Chad and Rob, is this. I think Triple H does that on purpose to stick it to his father-in-law, Vince. Like, hey, I can run a better show than you. You can't.
Well,
that's just my
Vince opinion. Is up there, and I mean, when you get up there, he's got people around him, but I mean, he's got his immediate crew, and then like his older crew that he affiliates with more, and they've been doing business like a certain way for so long, and I mean, eventually the formula gets old. They lose touch. And I mean, just whatever Triple H is doing it's always like the NXT first and then the Raw and SmackDown pay-per-views then afterwards. And lately, it's been NXT overshadowing the Raw and SmackDown brands, whatever the pay-per-view is, man, because it's like night and day.
Oh, it is, and I hate to say that, but I mean, but that's a fact, because, you know, I agree with the Jason Solo Monster. NXT is a better show.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Fans get into NXT TakeOver more than they do the other stuff.
Well, you know, they got that Raw pay-per-view coming up, TLC, here in Dallas. I'm actually considering going to that. I'm trying to get one.
Well, check it out. Look at Cesaro. That's like one of the best athletes ever. He could do anything. when Triple H had the book, they were like doing exposing all his moves and shit. I was just waiting to see a UFO, but you ain't gonna see it for whatever reason. And then when Vince took the book out of his shit, you know, he's gotta have a, just gotta be a fucking gimmick and a character and shit. Not always do fans want a fucking gimmick. As long as you can get in there and do some cool shit, that's good enough. It don't matter, like, what your image is and shit, man. Just give me some fucking flash, tell a good story, and not all has to be a fucking cartoon character or a storyline or, you know, just, man, we're a, well, I don't know, we're older school wrestlers. I've been watching it for, I'm 43 now. I've been watching this shit for, like, 35 years, so, I mean, storyline don't mean shit to me.
Yeah, well, to me, you know, I think Vince don't understand this very clearly is this. He doesn't look at Lucha Underground or Ring of Honor or New Japan as competition because he can say, hey, I could take these guys from this company. And no disrespect to Vince, but you can't always take like a Jay Lethal or Adam Cole for Ring of Honor and put him in NXT, and then once you put him on the roster, you're going to bury him anyway. I mean, you know, that's why people stay away from Vince, because they know they're going to get buried.
Well, you know, a lot of people are worried when Nakamura goes to the main brands. Like, you know, he's fine as this. What he's doing is fine, but, you know, I don't want a character or a label, but I just know from the past Vince likes to stereotype and shit. And if you're in the Orient, you gotta be of some kind of choppy PP type of shit. Or, I mean, that's fun for a little bit, I guess. But I mean, what Nakamura, for example, has been doing is just fine, and people are just fine with it. It don't need tweaking. Just leave the fucking shit alone. Let them do his thing. You notice that every time he lets them do their thing, those are the ones that become, like, the big players, the big drawers, the people that the people follow more. And
well,
just,
I agree.
You mentioned Barry. That was going to lead into the main event, Lesnar and Goldberg. That was a complete burial. I was like, seriously? Two spears and a jackhammer. That was their match. Lesnar picked him up, threw him back in the corner like he was going to do something, and then he kind of slipped back. Goldberg pushes him down, and then Lesnar gets up. Goldberg spears him. Crowd goes crazy. Then Goldberg waits for him. Lesnar gets back up. Another spear. Then he picks up Lesnar for the jackhammer, 1, 2, 3. No suplex city, no beating someone's head until he starts bleeding. None of that.
Did you think to get the feeling that something kind of happened in the back where Vince's back was in against the wall and then he said, okay, fine, just make it fast?
Well,
you guys collect your money and, you know.
Well, it's kind of like what Tala Monster said it best today on his podcast. He was like, "You don't need to. This match don't need to go no more than 5 or 10 minutes. Because Goldberg's going to get put out within 5 minutes. He's going to be blown."
All right, you saw what happened the last time they went against each other. For the first 10 minutes, that was all audience, with their chants and everything, basically taken from the match. So they were probably paranoid that, you know, the audience might try to do it again and say, all right, if we got fire right off from the beginning, then they're at least into the match and not trying to make chance, distracting the wrestlers, whatever, blah, blah. But then again, psychology will say, never let the audience control the match. A good worker knows how to, you know, fend off the audience and do their thing.
My question is if Brock's going to be back on Raw tomorrow night, Kyle Heyman's going to respond to him losing.
I think Heyman's going to do a shoot rant.
Do you think he's gonna be like, you know, well, Brock caught me off guard, I wasn't really ready. I mean, Goldberg caught me off guard, and
it would make sense because, all right, you got now one. Wait, is it two straight or is it? No, wait. It would have made better sense if Brock would have won, so that way you got a rubber match for Mania.
It made Goldberg look bad because Goldberg's just a beast and he's from Canada, and you make him lose a friend in his hometown of Canada. I mean, it makes you look bad.
All right, Bret Hart.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah, here you go. Just saying. I've heard a couple of Canadian friends of mine say this is like Bret Hart all over again.
Yeah, I didn't know. You know what? Straight up, I had no idea Brock was Goldberg was from Canada. I always thought he was from Oklahoma because that's where he always was billed at. But he is Canadian, huh?
Yeah, Brock Lesnar's Canadian. Yeah, I mean Brock Lesnar lives in Canada. He's got a, you know, that's where he's at. He trains at. That's why they put it in Canada, because of Brock Lesnar's hometown. Like, hey, he's from Canada.
Yeah.
You know, put it. But I mean, you know,
let me correct you. Brock Lesnar was born, I believe, in South Dakota, but his family moved to Minnesota, and that's where the Minnesota thing was. And he was billed tonight from the ring announcer from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, I do know that he lives in Canada. I don't know where in Canada. He does live in Canada. And just the way that they just had Goldberg just squash him, it was a squash match. And let's just call it what it is.
It's embarrassing, too.
There's no other way to call it.
Well, why would you? I mean, you know, why would you hype up that match? And a lot of people thought, well, Brock Lesnar will beat Goldberg, and that'd be better, you know. And they're like, oh, but I mean, I agree with Chad. It's maybe Vince McMahon had his hands tied behind his back, and he had to do what he had to do for business, and it wasn't good for business
or maybe worried about what Suplex City would do to a 50-year-old. Maybe.
True. I mean, but some people say that it was heat for he probably failed another drug test or something or whatever, and that's why they kind of know what they did to him. But I don't know.
Well, I heard he had a tweaked shoulder from that encounter on Raw where he threw the security around.
Yeah, Goldberg did, yeah.
Shit.
I'm watching football while you're talking to you. Fuck, the Packers are. Yeah, I think we lost. Washington just scored again. All right, sorry about that.
Speaking of football,
football is awesome, man. I like football.
Yeah, fuck Dallas. You beat us too, Rob. Fuck you.
Hey, I'm not a Cowboys fan anymore. I'm tired of the hype. I'm tired of the bullshit. I don't give a damn if they do have a 9-1 record and they got the best record in the NFL.
Yeah,
right,
get on the bandwagon, man. At least you probably get some ass or some shit.
What from Jessica?
Whatever you want.
I don't want
that jersey and be like, yeah, I was down all along. Yeah, right.
I'll give her the down the hall.
All right.
Jessica, man, she's all right, man. She's cool, dude. I mean, you know, she likes Cowboys. That's her. It is. I mean, come on, Rob. You live in Texas, dude. It's all about football and Cowboys and old school wrestling.
Like all these fucking folks, my cousin said, is like obsessed with the Cowboys. And then my boy Dre's obsessed. And then it's like all I see on my Facebook timeline and my news feed. Cowboy haters go hating. Go Cowboys. How about them boys now? And then I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They'll make the playoffs, and they're going to choke.
and they'll always break your heart, no matter what.
They're gonna choke, and then people are gonna be trying to like justify. Oh well, the Cowboys had a good record. Good season, boys. Good season.
That's the season. That's right. Go ahead, Rob. Tell them.
No, I'm saying it don't mean shit unless you win the Super Bowl.
That's correct. Yeah, you're right. Because, see, the way I look at it is just like that. You can win 10 games in the season and win your division. That's fine and dandy. Because playoff time, it means more. Because if, you like you said, you don't win a Super Bowl, you don't mean shit after that. You're like, eh.
I'm telling you, the Cowboys are going to get into – they're going to go to the playoffs, and they may win one game, but they're going to choke.
Yeah, that's football.
Especially, I don't know whose house is a main quarterback now. I don't even know who it is.
Prescott.
I heard something about Romo. Okay, let's say if he gets injured, then what? Then Tony Romo's back in the spotlight.
Pretty much, yeah.
And what happens every time they get a chance to go to the playoffs? Last couple of years, he's the last 2-3 years the Cowboys had a chance to go to the playoffs or either made the playoffs. Every fucking time Tony Romo has done something to fuck it up.
That's a rather negative attitude, Rob. They're never gonna win it like that.
I'm tired. What's his salary? Jerry Jones is paying them this large ass, what, $64 million, I think?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, they're paying this guy this big ass salary, and he's not producing. At least with Brock Lesnar, you know, you can justify the $4 million he makes a year, which is damn good for a wrestler, because he brings in ratings, and he's a crossover star, and you know, it doesn't matter if he loses or not. I honestly was going for more for Brock than I did Goldberg. I hate the way that they did this fucking match, man. I understand Goldberg's a 50-year-old man, but you hype this match with anything else for this movie, and then you're going to turn into a squash.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no telling what his physical condition is. And like you said, Chad, maybe Vince was probably – there was some politicking going on backstage. You know, they're trying to – and I'm sure that when here in a couple of days in the dirt sheets, they're going to talk about, you know, why the match was a short match and why the match was a squash. I'm sure it had something to do backstage, and Vince, like you said, Jim, his back was up against the wall, and he's probably like, well, fuck it, you know, we'll just go with the squash and, you know, two spears, jackhammer, and then we'll call it a day.
I wonder how much they got paid. I'm willing to bet that
Goldberg got at least $1 million for that match. At least.
Wow. Fox, sign me up, man. A couple of spears and a jackhammer. I'll take that for $1 million.
Hell yeah, shoot. I mean, it's just one of the things where Rob, and Chad will probably agree on this with me, is they knew after they hopped up this match, they knew that match was going to be back and forth. That's why they said, okay, we'll just go ahead and let Goldberg just destroyed Brock Lesnar, and I hate it for the Canadian fans who pay all that money, and they get the screwed, as phrase that Jim Cornette would say, screw the pooch, and they pretty much got screwed.
But the ultimate question should be asked: does this hurt Brock Lesnar's character? You know, him being a badass and no one can beat him and.
Probably not, because it's Goldberg with his former streak.
If it was Roman Reigns that beat Brock Lesnar, then a lot of people would it be a different story, because this is Goldberg. This ain't like Brock Lesnar fought some new guy I mean, look, let's be real. If AJ Styles fought Brock Lesnar and AJ beat him, a lot of fans would be more upset about it than they are right now with the whole Goldberg thing.
Yeah, it would definitely kill the hype.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Chad.
No, you made a good analogy. You know, AJ Styles versus Brock. That's a match we've never seen before. I think.
Oh, that's my shit. I want to see eventually RKO and AJ. I remember back when Feds had their independent owners, and I did nothing but triple threats, and I had RKO, DDP, and AJ all lined up. Oh, shit, are we going to square here? Come on, go.
I was just going to say, I would think that match would be 50-50. I think half the fans would be happy that AJ won, but then, like you said, the other 50% would be, pissed off, what the fuck, this small son of a bitch, he beat fucking what?
Well,
are you kidding me?
Let me ask you this. You think Brock Lesnar go back to UFC since he got squashed by Goldberg?
It depends on how many more matches he has on his current contract. Didn't he just sign last year, right before WrestleMania? Didn't he sign a 3-year deal?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I remember he was going into WrestleMania 31. He was taking
Roman Reigns,
and he did an interview right before WrestleMania, days before, and I believe he said he signed a multi-year deal with them, 2 or 3 years. How many more matches does he have left on his current deal?
Well, he's probably got one more match at WrestleMania this year, I think. Because, I mean, Brock Lesnar, you know, he's not going to do – I mean, look, let's be real. Brock Lesnar is better for UFC. He's more believable. Wrestling?
Yeah.
You know who he is. Yeah.
Or he could do both. And we won't see Lesnar again until Royal Rumble.
Yeah, but still, that in some way, to me, I ain't gonna lie, Brock had more fun doing that UFC 200 than he would have done tonight. You know,
with this Undertaker thing now, I mean, and he's gonna be a regular thing, I mean, what are they gonna do with him next now?
That's a good point.
Because the way I understand, he was supposed to take on AJ Styles and get the belt for Styles, and then Cena retire Taker at Mania.
That's the rumor.
That's the hot one right now for the last week.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I wouldn't be too terribly mad that AJ loses against Taker. I mean, Taker does deserve the title one more time. AJ's going to be there. AJ, he'll eventually be Cena again for the title or whoever the champion is. AJ will get the belt back. I don't doubt that one bit.
With the Undertaker, they need that for the Royal Rumble. Let's be real. Because the Royal Rumble will sell out unless you have the Undertaker on the car with AJ Styles. If it's just a regular Royal Rumble and you got a so-so main event, ain't gonna work.
And that's gonna be here in Texas. I want to go to that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Cause see, a lot of people needs to just let. I wish people would understand this. Shawn Michaels ain't gonna come out of retirement to fight wrestle anymore. He's not gonna do that. I mean, I know they were trying to do the AJ Styles thing.
They were trying to get him from Royal Rumble, weren't they?
It was supposed to
be AJ and Shawn Michaels, but, you know, could HBK put on another match, given his health? I mean, yeah, he looked good at WrestleMania, but is he willing to take all those bumps in the – I mean, AJ Styles is stiff as shit, dude.
Yeah.
He's very stiff. The question would be – my question would be, would HBK want to tarnish his legacy by coming back to retirement for a fantasy match? Number two, would AJ Styles tone down his stiffness, you know, just from the kicks and the punches, because he is stiff. And number three, is Shawn Michaels willing to take those bumps to make the match good?
Well, he would.
Shawn Michaels is in that same class as Bill Goldberg. He's pushing 50.
Yeah, but see, Shawn Michaels working at the Performance Center. So in some way, he's like, no, man, I think I'll stick to teaching these kids. Because at the end of the day, Shawn Michaels is a Hall of Famer. He's got enough left to prove. Unless you put him in a situation where if Vince says, hey, Shawn, or Triple H says, hey, buddy, could you go get so-and-so at this next pay-per-view? I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about the money. It's all about who can we get to sell out the arena. He's got nothing to do. I mean, you know, AJ Styles is hot right now. But let's be real. He's not going to be hot forever. He's just at this – what I'm saying is, like I was telling my friend earlier, I said, with the whole Dean Ambrose stuff, I mean, after Dean Ambrose, who are you going to put – I mean, who would you put against AJ Styles next?
Well, I do have a question for both of y'all. Overall, on a grade, we'll use A, B, C, D for the purpose of this. Overall, what would you rate the 2016 Survivor Series?
With
everything considered, you know, I thought it was a solid show, so I'm going to give it a B-.
Yeah. I'm not one to rate. I mean, everybody did their best. It just seemed really rushed, and I don't get the rush because, I mean, it's their own network.
Really? 4 hours. 4 fucking hours.
Yeah. I thought it was 6 hours.
No. Still, they had to press it all like that.
Well, the pre-show was an hour right there, and... Well, actually, 5. They had 5 hours. 5 fucking hours. The pre-show was 1 hour. That was at 5, and then 6 o'clock. That's when the pay-per-view started. So the thing I liked about this pay-per-view was there wasn't a lot of backstage skits. I can't stand backstage skits. Yeah,
they're funny or something, you know, if it's overly too dramatic or some shit, I don't mind a little entertainment and shit, as long as there's like a punchline or there's some kind of ha-ha to it, I suppose, but I mean, I'm not one for like the overly dramatic ones and shit, like, who shot Mr. Burns and shit, you know, I don't give a fuck who the hell killed Vince McMahon, he's God, you know?
And then Dean Ambrose came out there after being eliminated and attacked AJ Styles, and then fucking JBL started going crazy. He's like, what the hell is he doing? What the hell? JBL, get off the fucking mic and clothesline from hell, Dean Ambrose, just one good time. And that crowd would have went crazy.
What's up with Ambrose now? Is he fucking palling back up with the other two or what?
Really?
Or is it just tonight?
Well, you know, he's got the match with AJ in 2 weeks at the TLC pay-per-view for the title. Almost forgot the Shield reunited, I guess, so the nostalgia type deal when they did the triple powerbomb to AJ on, you know, through the Spanish announce table.
Ooh.
That's the running
game. Did you hear him? He's like, I don't want to do it here. I don't like you people. And he went to switch tables.
that Spanish announce table has been infamous. It always goes, you know, whenever they do a spot like a pile driver or a fucking RKO or someone coming off the top rope doing the elbow like Shane did. You know, the Spanish announce table is always the first one to go.
Yeah, what's up with Shane? Is he really hurt or what? Or just got the wind knocked out of him?
and the way he came down after he tried to do that coast to coast, or I'm sorry, the Van Terminator, he looked like he hit his head hard and could have.
Yeah, I knew something was going to happen because I really don't see him going all the way across. I mean, that's 20 fucking feet right there without the big ass garbage can way out sitting there like a sore dick, you know, for him to jump on or some shit, man. No. Oh.
I thought the pay per view. I give it a C. There you go. I gave it a C, but go ahead, Rob.
No, I was gonna say, I'm sure, like I said, in the next couple days, you know, when those Dave Meltzer and the rest of those people come out with their fucking stories, I'm sure if there's any injuries they'll talk about it. It looked like Shane suffered a concussion.
Yeah.
I mean, Rob and Chad, Shane's a damn fucking spot monkey and shit, man. He does that. That's all he knows is spot monkey shit. He's not a wrestler. That's the whole thing. Shane should be a GM. Do you see Stephanie again in the wrestling match or not? No. I mean, come on, man. I mean, why in the fuck would you put Shane in there anyway?
Well, guys, I don't mean to cut you off. We're about to run out of time. I can call you guys back on three-way. If y'all want to continue the discussion.
I'm the fucking champion. I talk when I want to talk. I got plenty of time. Keep that camera rolling.
No, I'm talking about the podcast.
Don't fucking cut me off.
No, the podcast is about to cut us off. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'll call you guys.
I don't fucking care, man. Come on.
I'll call you guys back. I'm in the podcast.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.